This is a state of things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge, and for Frank Stacio. A report by the Union of Concerned Scientists reveals 128 American military installations could be affected by rising sea levels. One base in Virginia is already suffering from flooding, and it's projected to get worse. The report's authors call climate change a threat to national security. The Trump administration wants to raise defense budgets, but it's defunding climate change initiatives. And some say since negative impacts could be decades away, military leaders don't always see the urgency. Military reporter Jay Price read the report, and he spoke with Navy officers and civilian experts in this region about what they're seeing. He joins us now to talk about it. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Oh, thanks for having me, Phoebe.
What did the report say about how sea level rise could affect our military installations?
Well, you know, the type of effects, you kind of want to think of it in two categories, you know, kind of nuisance flooding almost. You know, nuisance is a nice word for it, but flooding that could hinder daily operations, often at high tides or particularly heavy tides, and those are getting more and more frequent in some of the bases that are already seeing problems. Then with higher sea levels and, you know, in theory, more active weather systems, you know, catastrophic storms, you could see just a lot more and worse catastrophic damage, just, you know, huge damage to important installations with a major storm.
Do we know when these effects might be felt?
Well, of course, some places sooner and some places not so soon. President Trump was in Newport News, Virginia, a couple of weeks ago to talk up his proposed $54 billion hike in the Pentagon budget. He stood on the deck of a Navy aircraft carrier that was under construction. That's the only place in the country you could do that. That's the only shipyard there, the one in Newport News, that builds American aircraft carriers. And right there, they are experiencing, in that spot, the worst sea level rise on the East Coast. So, you know, pretty big threat to that area.
And is this something that we're seeing gradually, or can we see yearly differences? I mean, of course, we don't know if a hurricane will blow in, but these nuisance floodings, are we seeing this go up dramatically each year?
It's going up dramatically there in particular, in that particular area, the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. It's going up in a lot of places. But, you know, you have to kind of think of Hampton Roads as this kind of exotic time traveler for the rest of us. The sea level is rising there at an effective rate. And, you know, emphasize the word effective here. That's you know, essentially twice as fast as everywhere else on the East Coast or a lot of places on the East Coast. And in part, that's because the land is sinking. There are a lot of reasons, you know, theories for that. One of them, the main one involves a meteor strike that damaged the bedrock and things are kind of settling still thousands of years later. But what that does is kind of vault them into the future. And the Obama administration, you know, of course, was aware of the sea level was rising more quickly there than just about anywhere else, and made it kind of a test bed, kind of a greenhouse for trying things that could be used, developing kind of methods of attacking the effects of sea level rise that could be used in other military bases and in other coastal cities.
How would sea level rise hurt our military readiness or capabilities? Could we see ourselves being pushed backwards here, not being able to respond as quickly?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you got catastrophic damage to a major portion, in this case, we're talking about Norfolk, the world's largest Navy base, not just the largest American base, but the world's largest Navy base. If they had catastrophic damage there, you can imagine, you know, what the effects could be on defense. But look at Camp Lejeune. But by the year 2100, according to this report, sea level is projected to rise between 3.7 and 6.1 feet in the area there. And, you know, there are all these projections, and they kind of vary. And this has allowed deniers to get a toehold every once in a while because, well, if you can't be any more precise than 3.7 to 6.1, how do you know? But, you know, they have to look at the various scenarios. There's a lot that's uncertain about just how much it's rising. But by 2100, the base's barrier islands, which provide storm surge protection for the mainland, and the low-lying areas on the base itself could be flooding daily. Or almost daily. And under what that report described as the highest range of projections, by 2070, those barrier islands could flood with most high tides and be underwater 35% of the time. Now, those bases, those beaches are where the Marines practice those iconic amphibious assaults, you know, kind of the, what we think of when we think about Marines. So if they're not able to do that when they need to do it, military readiness obviously could suffer. The iconic Marine training depot at Parris Island, it could be mainly underwater at high tides by the end of the century. And a major storm could inflict huge damage on a critical basis.
So let's talk about the naval station in Norfolk. Tell us about what the government is doing there, the specific things that are happening there to help address this.
Well, there's been kind of a host of things, and I guess most of it you could kind of put in the category of planning as opposed to actually building things that will help blunt the effects of sea level rise. But, you know, the Obama administration understood, you know, the problem there and aimed projects at that region. I talked with one retired Navy captain, Ray Toll, at Old Dominion University, who led a project started by the Obama White House to develop a template for bringing the various levels of government, branches of military, local government, state, federal, and other agencies, nonprofits, et cetera, that are involved in this sort of thing, together, how to get them to get in the same room and how to have a common language and kind of frameworks for how you pay for things and how you go about fighting sea level rise. The Pentagon funds studies. This is another thing. The Pentagon funds studies typically by local governments around bases to help them plan for things that will protect the bases, things like buffers. So, you know, it's you don't want to build giant apartment buildings right in the flight path, essentially, of an airbase. And it is now funding the first one ever to look at planning for sea level rise. And so the local communities there are doing that with Pentagon money. You know, the bases and the cities there are the same place. You can't just build a seawall around a base and think that that's going to protect it when the people who live and work on the base live in the city and have to get to the base when the utilities come from off the base.
So the surrounding towns are working alongside the bases coming together to address this?
As much as they can. Now, you know, the big question is funding, but I might want to hear from Captain Dean Vanderlei here on this.
He's in charge of engineering for Navy infrastructure for much of the East Coast.
Even if the Navy decided to make Naval Station Norfolk a fortress that was, you know, impervious to the sea, all of our people live in the community. Our utilities come from the community. So we're really, you know, hand in hand with the community. And so, you know, our people need to get to work. We need to be able to get utilities. And so when we deal with things like sea level rise, as well as a lot of other issues, we really work in close cooperation with the local communities.
That was Captain Dean Vanderlei speaking from Norfolk, Virginia. I'm speaking with WUNC military reporter Jay Price about sea level rise today on the state of things. Many of the initiatives that were going on addressing these sea level rise and military bases were happening under the Obama administration. Is it likely that the Trump administration will view sea level rise as a national security threat and make these what seem to be huge investments necessary?
They are going to be huge investments. They will be huge. Two climate change experts I talked with who are retired naval officers both said that they have confidence in the new Secretary of Defense, General James Mattis, who says he regards climate change as a serious threat. But the various moves you're hearing about from other cabinet members, things like proposals to defund climate science, that, you know, that's really making people nervous. Under Obama, the Department of Housing and Urban Development gave Virginia and local governments there a $120 million grant, mainly to do kind of a pilot project in one neighborhood to make it less vulnerable to the rising water. You know, raise a street here, build a berm there, kind of guide the water around in and out quickly. And, you know, they have to have a model for doing this here and they can be transferred somewhere else. But, you know, that was HUD. And now, you know, the secretary, the new leader of HUD, is a climate change denier, essentially.
So within the military leadership, is there some contention over this threat, or is there coming together within military leadership?
Well, this is a tricky thing. And, you know, again, I talked to a total of three retired Navy officers who are climate experts about this sort of thing. And, you know, people in the military do regard this as a serious threat. And the military has to take climate change as a practical threat. It can't afford to get bogged down in the debate over the politics of it. They have essentially three different ways they have to look at it. They have infrastructure problems like this. They have to look at kind of the geopolitical side of things. Where's our next fight going to be? You know, the next war could be caused by this, or the next kind of, you know, skirmish could be caused by some effect of climate change. They also have to think in terms of kind of practically reducing their energy use. I was in bases, little tiny fire bases out in the desert in Afghanistan, where getting the diesel got there either by helicopter or by truck was just this massive undertaking, probably cost a couple of $100 a gallon and, you know, essentially Marine or Army lives, American service members' lives to get fuel there. And so you're starting to see things like them deploying with more solar panels and this, that, and the other to kind of go more green. Green saves lives. It isn't just a matter of hugging trees for them. It's a matter of getting the job done.
And whether one agrees with climate change or not, I would assume in the military you want to be prepared for anything.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And you just don't need to have resources tied up moving fuel around if you can avoid it.
That's WUNC military reporter Jay Price. Jay, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
You can find out more about his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a conversation with CNN analyst Bakari Sellers. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.